All the shiurim this year are dedicated Zecha Nishmas Rabbi Hai Arbisfeld, Harab Chaim, Rabbi Abraham Zechon Leracha, who passed away just several months ago from this COVID disease. We started this year Hilcha Shabbos, and we are now in the middle of Simen Reishna Gimel. Reishna Gimel is about Shehiyah v'Hachazara. And Simen Shin Yud Ches is about Bishul. So you have to, there's a lot of back and forth, a lot of give and take. We covered a lot. I'd better rearrange everything tonight just to review and to put everything into proper perspective. So again, there are Lamites Malachas on Shabbos. One of the Malachas is Mevashel. So Mevashel, I mentioned that someone wrote a sefer. He writes in his sefer, he doesn't understand what people are talking about Bishul on a tea bag. A tea bag is not edible. So this is not a valid argument. It may be that there's no Bishul on the tea bag for other reasons. But the fact that it's not edible doesn't clinch the psak, because the Gemara talks about three different types of Bishul. The Rambam lists off three different prohibitions, three branches of Bishul. Bishul on food items, so you violate Bishul when you make it, if you cook the raw food till it's roi lachila. Then there's Bishul on water, Bishul on liquids, on beverages. The water you can drink from the tap, it's good water. You don't have to cook it in order to make it edible. It's nechal kmo shu chai. So on water, on liquids, the sheer Bishul is when you cook it, when it's yatzo lettuce. That's all that is a shayla. What is it? So we are machmer from 120 up is a chumrah that we treated like yatzaladis. The Gemara had a suggestion, maybe have sherez el bishula, maybe just to heat the water till it becomes lukewarm. The Gemara says, no, have sherez lo zel bishula. You only violate bishul by liquids, by fluids, if it's if you make it yatzaladis. Then the third category of bishul is on non-food items. The Gemara talks about bishul on tar. You heat the tar till it liquefies, because when it's room temperature, it's hot. Or if you heat the wooden pegs, the Gemara says, and you make them softer by heating it. So it's clear in the Gemara, these are the three categories of Bishul. Then there's another malacha, a mechaber or maver, another two malachas. Maver means if you don't have to strike a match to create a fire, yesh me'ayin. Even if you throw fuel into the fire, I have a fire that's burning, I throw another log in, I throw another piece of paper in, and it catches fire, that's a malacha of havara. And mechabe is if you extinguish the flame. The Gemara says, strictly speaking, the definition of mechabe is if you create a pechem. Let's say you have a Bunsen burner, and the gas is burning, and you blow out the flame, so there's no longer a flame, but there is no pechem at all. So the Gemara says that, or let's say, mechabe gachela shel mateches. If you have a gachela shaleitz, a wooden gachelas, and you extinguish the flame, you'll be left with a charred piece of coal. That's the pechem. So the melacha mechaber really only applies when you create a pechem, and the definite, it's not the same. It's not the opposite from mavir. Mavir is to cause something to catch fire, and mechaber is not to extinguish the fire. You can extinguish the fire. You blow out the fire by the gas that's burning, you're not left with any pechem. So the Gemara says, the worst it could be is mechabe midirabbana, it's not mechabe minatur, because there is no pechem. And then if you mechabe gachelo shel eitz, and there is a pechem, so then if you plan to use the pechem, then it's called the malacha tzvicha legufa. Let's say you need some pechem. I remember one of my children dressed up on Purim like a schwarze. So she needed some ashes in order to smear on her face. So if you have a pechem and you plan to, you blew out the flame, you plan to use the pechem to paint something black. So that's melacha tzvicha legufa. If you extinguish the gachela shel eitz, you know, you don't plan to use the pechem, then it's called a melacha shet tzvicha legufa. So that's a machlekes hatanaim, Reb Shimon, Reb Yude. Well, the melacha shet tzvicha legufa is the raisa de rabban. Well, probably when we'll get to more of a detailed discussion of the melachas, We'll have to discuss what's the definition of malacha shein tzvicha legufa. So fundamental machlek is Rashi and Tosfos, what's the definition of malacha shein tzvicha legufa? So the Gemara says, one is chote b'gecholim, if you have a whole bunch of coals that are on fire, and you start poking around in the coals. So some of the coals before you poked around will be black, not because you're poking around. Now they turn orange or red. Some of them were red before because you poked around, so you cause it to become black. So even though when it's black, it's burning hot. If you touch it, you burn your fingers off. But still, that's called mechaber. So the coal that converted from black to orange is havara, and the coal that converted from orange to black is called mechaber. So if one is chod to begecholim, then it's chayv shtayim. The Gemara says chayv tu chatois. If he did it b'shegeg, one chata is because he violated mechaber, one chata is because he violated mavir. So the Gemara says there is an iser of shehiya. Okay, so far we spoke about three malachas on the level of the rice, 3 out of 39. Three malachas derais, and one is mevashel, and there are three branches of mevashel on food items, on liquids, and on non-food items, non-edible items. And then there's a malacha mechaber and malacha of mavir. Fine. Now there's an isa derabanan of shehiya. Shehiya means I leave raw food on the fire. It doesn't have to be raw. It's not, it didn't cook kiyatza ki Michael Bender who saw yet. So if I leave the food on the fire, if I don't have a blech, that's forbidden with the rabbanon. Any other activity to any other system. I start a system on Erev Shabbos where a malacha begins and it continues to function into Shabbos. So that's machlokes bisham and bisil. We pass on that it's mutter. But the one exception to the rule where the bisil hold that it's aser is by food. If you're going to set up a fire without a blech, and the food is going to begin cooking and Erev Shabbos continue to cook into Shabbos, that's forbidden midirabon. Why is it different from the other malachas? That to set up a sprinkler system, to set up traps to trap animals, and all other malachas that you set up on Erev Shabbos that should happen into Shabbos and to dye some cloth, to dye wool, to absorb the dye. Everything is mutta, only food. Because gzeri shemi yechat tebikachon. That's the prohibition of shehiya shemi yechat tebikachon. And if you have a blech, then that's a hecker. So you don't have to. You're not concerned about shemi yechat tebikachon. Then the chacham prohibited also hachazora. What does hachazora mean? Hachazora means ben hatorah there is a din ein bishul hachabishul. So that's. So we mentioned the. What does it mean ein bishul hachabishul? If the food was cooked together, if the food is cooked already, so it's edible, so you can't violate bishul by food. Bishul by food is I cooked it till I make it roi l'achila. It already is roi l'achila. Whatever is from the Rambam, it would appear. That's what a lot of Achrayim point out. But the Rambam would appear that the din by bishul akum, if the food is nechol kamoshu chai, there's no prohibition of bishul akum. It's not a local kula. Hilchas bishul akum. It's a din in Hilchas Shabbos also. If the food is nechol kamoshu chai, so you can't violate bishul on it. Bishul means I took food which is not roi l'achila and made it into roi l'achila. But if it's already nechol kamoshu chai, I have an apple. In America, we eat apples, we eat carrots, we eat raw carrots. In Europe, they only ate sinners, they didn't eat raw carrots. The Bahamas ate raw carrots, like we don't eat raw potatoes. So if you take a potato and you cook it till it's roi l'achila, that's called bishul. But if you have food that already was cooked and already is roi l'achila, so then by definition, you can't violate bishul. That's ain't bishul ahabishul. This should really, if that's the reason why ain't bishul ahabishul, this should really lead you to believe that by water, you should say yesh bishul achabishul, because by water the definition of bishul is not by liquids. The definition of bishul is not that you cook it till you make it roi l'achila. The water from the tap you can drink the way it is. Definition of bishul is by liquids that you heat it till it becomes yatza lettuce. So if you have water that was cooked already, now it's only lukewarm. It's hot, but it's not yatza lettuce. It's below 120. Then you put it back on top of the fire, that should be an isa bishul derais. It was below yatza lettuce, I put it back on the fire, make it yatza lettuce. That should be, so that's what the Eig L'tal wants to say. In the end of the Sefer, in the end of the Eig L'tal, he says, Minig Olam is not like this. He tries to defend the Minig Olam. But the Rav Soloveitchik said over, the Pashta should have been like the Eig L'tal said originally, that by water, everybody agrees that yesh bishul acha bishul. And what does it mean? That if the water is now hot but below yatza lettuce, and you put it on the fire, let's say it's even on top of the blech, but it's moved away from the burner that's on, and then you're going to put it back on top of the burner, so you're moving it from below yatza lettuce to above yatza lettuce. So that should be bishul derais. In Shulchan Aruch, they have a machloikis, but the Yesh Bishalach Abishul Deraisa by Dovalach. So what is the Machloikis? Hadeg Leitala. Initially, before he backs out, because the Minig Olam is not so, before he backs out, so he says, the Pashtus is the Machloikis by the Bishalach Abishul Deraisa by liquids is only by soup. They treat soup like a food, because once you cook the soup, so the whole soup is now edible. When you put it in the refrigerator, it doesn't revert back to become raw soup. It's delicious now also, except when you heat it up, it'll become yatza lettuce. So that's a machloikis. Whether by soup you say, yesh bishul acha bishul deraisa, you treat it like water, that the definition of bishul by water is to make it yatza lettuce. Oh no, you treat it like a food item. So since it's because it is a food, it's a liquid food. So maybe you should treat it like a food that's a dope gush. That you say, yesh bishul acha bishul. So there, by liquids, according to Deg Leital, means by soup. That's a machloek, and the Machabe quotes a machloekis HaRishon, where they say, Yish bishal acha bishal deraisa, not? So the Ramo comes up with a compromise. What's the compromise? It depends. If you took the soup off from the fire, and it's done in the gamre, and went down to room temperature, then you put it back on top of the fire, then you machma that yesh bishal acha bishal. But if it's still lukewarm, even though it's below Yatza Leris, but then you put it back on top of the blech, so then then we would say ein bishul acha bishul. What is the nature of the compromise? Means that if you really treat soup like water, if it goes below the point of Yatza Leris and you put it back on top of the burner, it becomes again Yatza Leris, so that should be bishul deraisa. So it means the compromise of the Ramah really is that by soup you say ein bishul acha bishul. Soup is the same really mikra din. Soup is the same as a maichel, that ain't bishul acha bishul. But the Torah's chumra, so the Ramot rule in a chumra. If it's nitzana legamre, then you act as if it's yesh bishul acha bishul. Yikaradin, even nitzana legamre wouldn't pose a problem either. It would really be the same as a dovakush, that ain't bishul acha bishul. So again, so we have a klal, okay. Then the Rosh in Masechus Shabbos has a machlokes harishonim. He quotes the two opinions. What if you have a steak that was broiled before Shabbos and it's rare done? A lot of people will enjoy it the way it is, and some people will not enjoy it. That's how there was a gangster in the days of the Tanoim by the name of Ben Deruso. He was always running away from the police that were always out to get him. He was a ganav, so he would always cook his food rare done, he would gulp down the food and he would run to run away from the police that shouldn't catch him. So that's called Michael Ben Derusoy. So what if you take raw food and you cook it on Shabbos till the point of Michael Ben Derusoy? So the Gemara says, Yechai, that's called Bishul. What if you take food that was cooked before Shabbos, Michael Ben Derusoy, so it's already Mevushal, then you put it back on, you take it out of the refrigerator, put it back on top of the fire, and you let it cook longer till it's fully done. So not only would the gangsters, not only would those people who enjoy rare done steaks, not only would they enjoy it, everyone would enjoy it. It's mevushal lagamri. So that's a machlokes 2 days in the Rishonim and the Rosh. Is that an isad bishul deraisa? Or do you say no? Is it an isad bishul deraisa because you are accomplishing more? Not only will a certain percentage of the population enjoy it, it's mevushal lagamri. So everyone will eat it. So that's a machloikis. So we're machmer on that we consider that an isa deraisa. What's the difference between the deraisa derabbanan? We're observing dinim derabbanan also. No, it's an afkamin over here for the dinim of hachazara. So the dinim of hachazara in Simen Reish Nun Gimel, the dinim of hachazara, the dinim derabbanan. So sometimes there's no isa hachazara, but you have to be careful not to violate an isa bishul deraisa. So we're going to have to, when we review everything, we'll have to tie everything all together again. So again, so the Chachamim
prohibited. This question about
about
Yatza lettuce, bro. The Rav said it was 120 degrees. Yeah. I've seen places where it says it's 109 degrees.
No, 109 is incorrect. Absolutely incorrect. We spoke a few weeks ago about the Shmir Shabbos Kol Chosu, who explained why it should be 114. We explained that. And in the Kashrus organizations in America, we're not machma for that, the Shmir Shabbos Kol Chosu. Here they're all machma from 120 up, and 120 is also a chumr. As mikra din, it's probably much higher. It's probably 120 is not that hot. It's probably something more like 140. He spoke about that a lot. What's the definition of Yatzalaris? Okay. So again, so if you have fully cooked food, I have a kukul, I have chicken, flesh that was fully cooked in the refrigerator, I take it out and I reheat it on Shabbos. So in the Torah I say, Ein bishalach habishal, I didn't violate anything. But with the Rabbanon, it's prohibited. So why did they prohibit it? If the din is Ein bishalach habishal, why did they ask him with the Rabbanon? So the Mishnah Berurah gives an introduction to this Simon Reish Nun Gimel, and he shows that it's a machlokes harishonim. There's a long Or Sameach. Rav Soloveitchik said everything exactly like the Or Sameach. He didn't, every so often he would quote things in the name of the Or Sameach. This he didn't say in the name. He worked it out on his own, exactly the same cheshbon. But there's a fundamental machlokes in the rishonim. Why did they prohibit hachazara? If the food is fully cooked and you put it back on top of the fire, menatar ein bishul ha-bishul. So the Chachmei Svara, the Ramban, and the Rashbo, and the Ritvo, and the Ran, all the Chachmei Svara are of the opinion that even though Minatar and Bishul Achad Bishul, but Midirabonon, it's an Isid Bishul. They call it Mechzikim Mevashem. Mechzikim Mevashem means that it's Bishul Midirabonon. And the Bali Atesvis, following the Rabbi Natam, are of the opinion that no, ain't Bishul Achad Bishul, even Midirabonon. You're not in violation of Bishul. But you're in violation of Gzeirish Amiyachata B'Gecholim. What's the difference, Halacha L'maisa? What's the reason? So the Nafkamina comes up, the Rishonim have Perikira, has all his dinim. Perikira starts on an Amud Bey, so the first Amud Aleph, in other words, the second Amud in the Perik, there's a Machlokes Tosfos in the Chachmei Svara. What's the din? Unless I'm going to leave food not on the fire, to cook on Shabbos, going to leave the food on the enamel next to the fire, and it's going to get cooked over there. I have such a high fire that the food that I leave on the side of the stove, not on top of the burn, on the side, is going to get cooked mikoach the fire. So do you need a blech for that or not? So the Gemara says you don't need a blech. That mahu lismach, is it mutter to leave food, shehiyah, raw food, on Erev Shabbos, b'samach, it's not al-gabi ho'esh, it's next to the fire. So the Gemara said, that is muta, that the gzeirah shem yechata only applies if you put the food that you're cooking on top of the fire. But if you could put it, let's say the boys have a radiator in the dormitory, and the fire is in the basement where the boiler is, and the boiler cooks up water and it evaporates and goes in the radiator, and the radiator is hot. So when you put with the boys in the dormitory have, let's say, a little refrigerator in their room, they buy food from Meal Mart, whatever, and they want to warm it up on Shabbos. Not that they're not warming up soup. The warming up soup, so that's where Machmer, that if it's Nitzan Legamri, is Yesh Bishal HaHadishal, that's the Ramah. They want to warm up flesh or kugel. So they're taking fully cooked food, putting it on top of the radiator. So that's hachazara, but it's not agabi hoesh. So that's a machlokes harishon. If they would do shehiyah, if they would leave raw food on top of the radiator, let's say they leave a kettle of water, cold water on top of the radiator, and there's no blech to remind them of anything. But it's not agabi hoesh. They can't be mechata b'gecholim over here. The esh is not over here. The esh is under the boiler in the basement somewhere else. So whenever the food is not agabi esh, then they were never gozer. Whenever it's besamach, then they were never gozer the isra of shehiyah. So the machlokes harishonim is what about hachazor? So if you hold like the Chachmei Svara, like the Ramban and the Talmidei HaRamban, that hachazor is because of bishul midirabbanon. So Bishul Betoldos HaEish is also an Issur D'Oraisa. Not only Bishul Agabi HaEish, let's say I have a Kli Rishon, I have a kettle of burning hot water on the fire, I take the kettle off and I take a raw egg and I put it into the kettle of water. So the raw egg becomes, I don't know if it'll become hard-boiled, it'll become soft-boiled, it'll become this bashel in the burning hot water. But the kettle of hot water is no longer Agabi HaEish. So that's called Bishul Betoldos HaUr. Betoldos HaEish. We mentioned there are two words in Hebrew. There's a word Ur and a word Or, spelled the same Aleph of Resha. Or means light and Ur means fire. L'chu ba'aru b'ur ishchem. The Nabi said they should burn in Gehenna. You make your own Gehenna, you're going to burn in your own Gehenna. So that's called Toldos HaUr. So Bishul He said Bishul is only if you do Bishul Be'ur, Be'esh, or Be'taldas Esh. Even if I have a Kli Rishon that was removed from the Esh, and I put in raw food and it gets cooked in the Kli Rishon, that's an Isa Bishul Deraisa. So if you hold like the Chach Misvarat, that HaChazara is prohibited Midrabanan because of Bishul Midrabanan, so Bishul applies even if it's not Agabi Esh. Bishul does not have to be Agabu Esh. You don't even have to have the Esh at all. Bishul Betoldas Esh is also Deraisa. But according to the Bali HaTosfos, that HaChazara is also Midrabanan because of Shem Yechata. So it's the same reason for Shehiyah. Shehiyah Shem Yechata. And the Gemara came to the conclusion that because of Shem Yechata, the Gzer was only instituted when the food is placed Agabi Esh. If it's not Agabi Esh, there's no Gzer. So here also, it would be mutta to do HaChazara, to take out food, fully cooked food from the refrigerator, and put it on the enamel next to the fire. You're not putting an Agabi Esh, putting it next to the fire. So that's B'samuch. So then the Ramot Paskins La'alocha, that is mutta. The Ramot Paskins, like the Bali HaTos, the Mishnah Berurah starts off, he introduces this Simon, Resh Nun Gimel, with this Machlokes, the Bali HaTos and the Chach Misvara. What's the reason, what's the nature of the prohibition of HaChazara? Is it the same as Shehiyah Shem Yechata? Is it Bishul Midrabanan? Then he doesn't go into the details later. He doesn't follow up. But the Or Samech follows up, and our Salvation Father said, how do we paskin bottom line? So the Ramah paskins Lahakalobi, he paskins like Tosis, that the Yisra of HaChazara is not because of Bishul Midrabanan, but it's rather Shem Yechata. So whenever it's not Agabi Yoresh, then there's no Gzera Shem Yechata. So then the Shulchan Aruch has a machloikis, and the Psak HaMekubal is lahokel in the following case. What if you have a kedera al-gabi kedera? It means like this. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes a prima godim. Rav Soloveitchik thought that is 100% correct, this prima godim. They say Rav Moshe Feinstein didn't, some of the members of Rav Moshe Feinstein's family claim Rav Moshe didn't hold like this. Rav Soloveitchik thought that it was 100% correct. If you have a pot of food on top of the fire, and then I have a pot with another pot of food that I put a kedera al-gabi kedera. So the food in the bottom pot, which is on top of the fire, even if there's a blech, the first pot on the bottom is considered al-gabi esh. The kedera al-gabi kedera, the pot with the second pot on top of the bottom pot, a kedera al-gabi kedera, so the upper pot is not considered al-gabi esh. But the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Prima Godim, that's only if there's food in the bottom pot. But if the bottom pot is empty, so the bottom pot is like a blech. It's a crooked blech. So a crooked blech is not better than a straight blech, and two blech is not better than one blech. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik thought, that the Kedera al-Gabi Kedera is a machlokes in Shulchan Aruch, only if there's food in the bottom pot. So the bottom pot is considered al-Gabi Hoesh. And the pot on top of that that has food in it, that's called Kedera al-Gabi Kedera. So that's a machlokes in Shulchan Aruch, and the Shulchan Aruch says that we paskan l'hakel on that. Kedera al-Gabi Kedera, the upper pot is, so that's what a double boiler is all about. In all the hotels, when they want to reheat vegetables or something, they want to reheat something on Shabbos, so they have a pot with burning hot water that's on top of a fire. And then they take another pot with the vegetables that they take out of the refrigerator that they want to serve hot, whatever they want to serve. So they put it on top of the bottom pot. So Kedera al-Gabi Kedera, the food in the upper pot, is not considered al-Gabi Yoresh. Now we mentioned Chacham Avadya writes that many of the Sfardim follow a psak from 100 years ago from some Sfardim Shigodl, that whenever you have a blech and you put food on top of the blech, that's automatically, it's not al-Gabi Yoresh. It's only considered al-Gabi Yoresh if the pot with the food is directly on top of the fire. So that kula has not been accepted by the Ashkenazim. The Ashkenazim assume that that's still called al-Gabi Yoresh. Even though you have a blech that's mafsik, it's still called al-Gabi Yoresh. When are we make it? It's not al-Gabi Yoresh if there's food in the bottom pot. Kedera al-Gabi Kedera, if there's food in the bottom pot, then you have food on the upper pot. So the upper pot is not considered al-Gabi Yoresh. Sometimes, let's say, not everybody knows all these dinim. So let's say I'm visiting by a family, and their practice is that they take food out, fully cooked food from the refrigerator, and they put it back on top of the blach. And they're not Sfardim, they're Ashkenazim. So they're not supposed to follow that psak. each Kehillah is supposed to follow their Rabbi Muvok. So each, we have, let's say the Ashkenazim have 500 Rabbanim Mufakim, the Ashkenazim have 500 Rabbanim Mufakim. So there's overlap. Mistam, 300 Rabbanim are the same by the Ashkenazim and the Sfardim. Rashi, Rabbi Natam, the Rashba, the Ritva, 300 are the same. And then the remaining 200, said by Ashkenazim, you have the Chayyodim and the Vilna Goyen and the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch and so on. And then by the Mishnah Berurah, and then by the Sfardim, they have their, I don't even know the names of their poskim. They have the Ben Yishchai and all the others. So by the Sfardim, you have to follow. You don't have one Rebbe Muvik, you have 500 Rabbanim Mufakim. So you take the consensus. So by the Ashkenazim, it'll turn out the Rav of the Rabbanim Mufakim hold one way. And the Sfardim, they're supposed to follow the Rav of the Rabbanim Mufakim. So that's where it comes, that there are different Psokim by Ashkenazim and Sfardim. So let's say there's an Ashkenazi family, they're supposed to follow the Psokim of the consensus among the Ashkenazi Rabbanim Mufakim. We had 500 Rabbanim Mufakim, and that's why the Ashkenazi Psok goes in one direction. So let's say the Ashkenazim will be Mekel this Kula. They'll take out food from the refrigerator, fully cooked food, and they'll put it on top of the blech, which the Sfardim hold is not called Agabi Hesh. Whenever you have a blech, it's not called Agabi Hesh. So the Ashkenazi who does that is really in violation of the din of HaChazorah. So then there should be a penalty. The Gemara has, sometimes there are penalties here. If the person did it amazing, b'shege, complicated the dinim, to work out all the details, when is there a penalty? So here the Mishnah Berurah has a klal that he quotes from the Prima Gadim. He quotes it once in a long while. The Shmir Shabbos Kolchose quotes it much more often. Whenever there's a machlokes haposkim on something, and there's a legitimate sheet that says lahakel, even though the psak is supposed to be lahachmir, but since there was such a legitimate sheet of lahakel, you can't say that there's a penalty, even though the person shouldn't have followed that sheet. But since there are sheetas all that is muta lagamre, how can you say that there's a penalty? So Mistam over here, if I'm visiting by this family, Mistam, and they took out the food from the refrigerator and they reheated it by putting it on top of the blech. So that's Mamash HaChazorah. According to Ashkenaz, that is called Agabi Ha'ish. They violated HaChazorah, but you can't say that B'di'evit there's a penalty. If there are Chacham Abadi Paschans like that, that is Mutal L'chatchila, so how can you say that for Ashkenazim there's a Knas even B'di'evit? So Mistam, I can eat the food that they'll serve me, but I really ought to explain to them that next week they shouldn't do it. They shouldn't rely on that head unless they want to convert to become Sfardim and follow all the other Psokim from the Sfardim, but they're not Sfardim. They're following everything else, like Ashkenazim, and this one din they don't know. So this, we wouldn't ask it b'di'evit because there's a shita, a legitimate shita, all that is mutta. Well, hatchila for sure they shouldn't do that. Yeah.
Rav Schechter, if I'm visiting by Sephardi for Pesach and they're serving rice,
yeah.
Can I eat the rice and tell them next week, please don't do that if I'm coming, or is it different?
I don't think so. Our meaning is that we don't eat rice. We're not allowed to violate our minik. Now here, I'm not violating anything. The question is, did they violate anything by taking the food out from the refrigerator? They didn't violate anything. Asfardi, who puts the food on top of the blech, so he's following his paisik, but that's permissible. But even if so then there's no penalty over there. But even if an Ashkenazi will do that, an Ashkenazi shouldn't have done it. But I'm not violating the Isra of HaChazor. There's a question, is there a penalty that you're not allowed to eat it? So the Pashtus says the penalty doesn't apply because there is a legitimate opinion that you're allowed to do that. So even though we don't follow that opinion, but there's no Knas. But over there, you're discussing not a question of a Knas having violated an Isra, discussing there's a meaning by Ashkenazim not to eat kidney, and so that you can't do. What we would be mekel is like this, even though they cook the kidneys in the same pot with the rest of the food, they just leave the rice on the side and you eat the rest of the food. What happened to the din of Tam Ki Iker? If you're not allowed to eat kidneys, so then you have to have shishim to be mebatla tam of the flavor of the kidneys. So the answer is, it says in Shulchan Aruch that kidneys is only a minig. And not only is there no din of mashu, chometz b'pesach is b'mashu. Even if you have shishim, it's no good. So by kidneys, not only is there no din of mashu, there isn't even a requirement for shishim. You only need shishim when you're talking about machalas asuris. Either machalas asuris derais and machalas asuris derabon. But sometimes there's something that you're not allowed to eat, but you can't really call it machalas asuris. Let's say bishalakum. Bisholakim. So the Shulchan Aruch, there's a machlokes in the Rishonim where they need Shishim to be mevatel something that's Bisholakim. And the Pesach in Shulchan Aruch is that you don't need Shishim. There is not really an Issa Macholas Asuris. It's a din. You shouldn't eat Bisholakim because it may lead to intermarriage. So it's not that they declared it as Macholas Asuris Medrabban. They said eating Bisholakim is considered like dancing with a Nochris, like kissing a Nochris, like dating a Nochris, that it may lead to intermarriage, but it's not really an Issa Achila. So if something is Macholas Asuris, then you need Shishim. So the meaning not to eat kidneys is not, we don't treat kidneys as if it's Macholas Asuris. We're afraid if it's Akzera. If you eat kidneys, so the people may think the same is true regarding flour. You take regular flour, not matzah mel. Matzah mel was baked already and it's not bother dechimitz. You take regular Pesach Dika flour that they bake matzahs from. It may take regular Pesach Dika flour and cook it in a pot like you cook kidneys. So it's Akzera derabanan. It's a bad idea to eat kidneys, but it's not that they declared it as Macholas Asuris Medirabonim. So that's why it says in Shulchan Aruch that if you eat kidneys, if you have a blia from kidneys, you don't need shishim. What we need is that it should be balta barov. It's always going to be balta barov. Once you take away all of the rice, it'll have the flavor of the rice will be in the chicken and whatever else you're going to eat. But there's no din of tam kikar over there, so it's balta barov. And then once someone called me up on Pesach, on Chol HaMoed Pesach. He came home from the office and his wife said, look what I made for supper. She bought corn on the cob and she cooked it. So the husband was ready to divorce his wife. Why she bought corn on the cob? It's kidneys. So I you don't have to divorce your wife. I said, there's no bal yirah by matzah, corn. We have a meaning that corn is treated like kidneys. So there's no bal yirah by matzah on corn. You don't have to sell it. So put it with the corn that she cooked, put it away, wrap it up, put it in the refrigerator. You'll eat it after Pesach is over. There's a blia in the pot. So the din is that whenever you cook treifas in a pot, if you wait 24 hours after cooking the treifas in the pot, then the blia is cooked. The blia is cooked.
Can everybody please mute themselves? Can everybody please mute themselves?
Okay. So if you cook dreyfus in a pot and you wait 24 hours, so the bli in the pot is what we call nosim tam legamsim. In the Torah it's mutter to eat it, but they made gzeira the rabban, gzeira ena binyam ata binyam. So that gzeira, so there's a one line shach in Yerideya. He writes that the Gzeira de Rabbanan was not only made if you cook treifas de rice, even if you only cook treifas de Rabbanan. Let's say Shuman Agid is only awesome with the Rabbanan. So even if you cook the treif of Basav Chalav de Rabbanan, chicken and milk is only Basav Chalav de Rabbanan. So even if you only cook the Nisa de Rabbanan in a pot, still there's Gzeira Eina Benyam Ata Benyam. So not all the Achronim agree with the Shach. The Shach doesn't prove the point. So the others, the Nadi Yehuda, is not so convinced. He thinks that by Nisa Rabbanan will be a Gzeira L'Gzeira. So, but we follow the Shach, that even by Nisa de Rabbanan, Eina Ben Yoimai, is a Gzeira de Rabbanan. But if you only cook kidneys in the pot, then the Shach writes in the second Chelik Yeridei, kidneys is only a minig, and minig is a lower level of a din de Rabbanan. So once you wait Eina Ben Yomo, once the Kli is Eina Ben Yomo, you don't have to kasher it. So I said, take out the corn, put it in the refrigerator, have your wife make something else for supper tonight, and there's no bal yirah on the corn, and on the pot, wait 24 hours, and then you can use the pot for the last days of Pesach. You don't have to kasher the pot. So the same over here. The same over here.
Yeah. Rabbi, by a kadera agabe kadera, can the top kadera be totally immersed in the food of the lower kadera, or it has to be higher up?
I think it's supposed to be higher up. I think so.
Can't enter at all.
I think not. Okay. Yeah. I think that not. Yeah. So again, so that let's review some of the dinim of Hilchas Bishul, because whenever you do shiach, whenever you do hachazor, you have to make sure that you don't violate Bishul deraisa. So that's why you have to learn Shin Yud Ches together in conjunction with Reish Nun Gimel. So some of these dinim we discussed already. So let's say I have a kettle of water that was on top of the fire, take it off of the fire, I take a raw egg and I put it into the kettle of hot water, and it gets cooked. It becomes a coddled egg or whatever, soft-boiled egg. So that's Bishul Betolda Sa'ur. It's not Bishul Ba'ur because I took the pot of, I took the kettle off of the fire. Bishul Betolda Sa'ur is a Malacha Daraisa. So that's awesome and other. What if I'll take the kettle, what if I'll pour all the water into a klisheni, and then I'll pour all the water from the kettle into another pot, and then I'll put the egg into the second pot. So that's Bishul B'Klisheni. So Bishul B'Klisheni is, there's no Bishul B'Klisheni, Min HaTorah. There's no Bishul B'Klisheni. But it never says it explicitly in the Mishnah that it's Mutter. Even though it's Mutter Min HaTorah, it never says Mutter. It says to do Irui from the Klisheni. If I pour the kettle of hot water into a Klisheni, then I pour the water from the Klisheni on top of the egg, and I pour so much water on top of the egg that it gets it cooked. So then the din is that Irui from the Klisheni is mutter to be mevashel. So the Bali HaTosis raised the question, why does it say Irui from the Klisheni? Why not put the egg into the Klisheni? It should also be mutter. So Tosis has two opinions about that. One opinion on Echanami, even putting in a Klisheni is also mutter. And the Ramah is machal like the other opinion. The Ri is mesupik. The Ri Bali HaTosis, the nephew of the Rabbein Atam. The Ri Bali HaTosis is mesupik, and the Ramah is machmer on that. That to do bishul in a klisheni is mechzik in mevashel. Means that it's bishul mid the rabbanon. The only thing which is had to come is to do irui to pour from the klisheni on top of the raw food, even though it gets cooked. So that's had to come. Why is it such a din that ain't bishul be klisheni? Manoshach Tosis wants to know. If I pour the water from the kettle into another pot, then I put the egg in the second pot. If the egg gets cooked, so didn't I do bishul? So why do you say ain't bishul be klisheni? What is it? It's statement of benzias. The fact is that it won't get cooked. If it doesn't get cooked, it doesn't get cooked. So what do you need a mishnah to tell you that it's not bishul be klisheni? It means it did get cooked, and still you say it's mutter. Ain't bishul be klisheni? Why? Bottom line, it got cooked. So Tosfos said because ain't derech bishul bekach. Since when you pour the water from the kli rishon, from the kettle, into the klisheni, into the pot, the tfanas will be mekaros. The water, I think it's called Boyle's principle. The water bounces back and forth, and the walls of the pot are cool, room temperature, so it's going to cool off the water. So since the tfanas are mekaros, and the water keeps on cooling down slowly, slowly, so it's ein derech bishul bekach, because you know in advance that it may not work. So even if you do succeed in cooking the food and the klisheni, and now you made it edible, but still since it's ein derech bishul bekach, so that's why there's no bishul be klisheni. And then you shouldn't think mistakenly that it's only a din in Hilchas Shabbos, because it's a din of Malachas Machshavos. We spoke last week that Malachas Machshavos, the Pasuk says by Malachas HaMishkan. But the Gemara points out at the end of the first paragraph in Chagig, even though the Pasuk only says by Malachas HaMishkan, it carries over to Hilchas Shabbos, because all the Lamates Malachas are derived from the Mishkan. That's the first half in Bava Kam. Achtabi Mishkan Chashivikor Eliav, Achtalahavi Mishkan Chashivikor Elitol. The Torah says, I want you to make a Mishkan, but don't be Mechallel Shabbos to make the Mishkan. So that's how we determine, that's how we establish what constitutes Chilul Shabbos. Whatever major activities were necessary for construction of the Mishkan constitute the Lamates of his Malachas. So so since the Mishkan had to be done by the Umnim, Malachas Mashabbos, so it's only called the Malacha. If you do the Malacha, and an Eifel Malachas Mashabbos, so you do a Malacha Kalacha Yad, person writes with his left hand. If he's a righty, writes with his left hand, is going to be so sloppy, even he won't be able to figure out what he wrote there. So whenever you do a malacha kalach hayad, that's not a malacha deraisa. So you shouldn't make a mistake and think that Tosfos says that bishul be klisheni zain derech bishul bekach, because the tfanas are mekaros. So one might mistakenly think that it's only a din in Hilchos Shabbos, that you need malacha kedarka, and this is a kalach hayad. This is not the normal way to cook. So that's not correct, because the Gemara says in the first daf in Perakol HaBasar that the basar b'cholab derais is only derech bishul asur Torah. If you mix fleshiks with milchiks together, but not you didn't cook it together, then it's only basar b'cholab derabonim. If you have, let's say, a sandwich, you have cheese and you have a hamburger, a cheeseburger together, the cheese with the hamburger together. So that's only basar b'cholab derabonim. It'll only be basar b'cholab derais if it's cooked together. So the Gemara says, and if you cooked it in a klisheni, so there's no bishul be klisheni. So it's not only a din in Hilchos Shabbos, ein derech bishul bekach, it's not just a din in Hilchos Shabbos because of a lack of Malachas Machshavos, it's a din in Kol HaTorah Kulam. So the Avnei Nezer and Rabbi Chana Basman and others from Nat Kufa, they discuss when is Kalach Hayad only a din in Hilchas Shabbos because of a lack of Malachas Bal Shabbos, and when does it even apply in Kol HaTarkut? So they bring a lot of rights that sometimes there are other areas of Halacha that if it's not Kedarkai, so it doesn't count in other areas of Halacha as well. Not only by Malach HaShabbos, but you need Malach HaShabbos, even in other Averis also. If it's not done Kedarkai, so sometimes by definition it's not called the Malach. So again, so is the Bishul, is there Bishul in a Klisheni? I'm going to take a raw egg and put it into the klisheni. So the Mishnah says, you're not chayav, ain't bishul b'klisheni. Is it awesome at the Rabbanan though? So those were the two opinions in the Re-Balatosis, and the Ramah is machmer on that. That we're machmer that the Rabbanan is mechzik and mebashal. How can you say that? But the Mishnah says you're permitted to put tavlin into the klisheni. So what happened to the Re's chumah that it's awesome? They're only iri from the klisheni is mutter, but to put the food into the klisheni, the Re says is asa, but the Mishnah says you're permitted to put tavlin into the klisheni. So the Re answers, tavlin means a flavoring like a tea bag or something. You're not going to eat the tavlin. It's going to give a flavor, then you're not going to eat it. So that's not Mexican mevashal. The old Issa Bishul the klisheni is goes Mexican mevashal only if it's an item that you're going to eat. But if the tavlin is going to be, I'm going to put, let's say, a cinnamon bar, a chunk of cinnamon into the klisheni, and it's going to give a flavoring into the tea. Raw cinnamon is going to give a flavoring, but I'm not going to eat the cinnamon. I'm just going to drink the tea. So since it's only tavlin, it's not a davar hanechal, so this gzeira de rabbanan was never made over there. Aye, but there's another case. Let's say I have a tea. I have tea in a klisheni, and it's burning hot, and I want to cool it down. I want to drink it now. So I pour in a little lemon juice. I pour in, let's say I have coffee, I pour in a little milk into the coffee. I pour in a little cold water into the tea, so it'll cool down a little bit. So you're pouring in water, and the water you are going to drink. So that's what that's a befeirish gemara that's mutter, that there's no bishul b'klisheni, even if you pour in liquid that you are going to drink. So the answer is, it's not oimid b'fnei atzmai. I pour in the lemon juice, I pour in the cold water, and it blends in together, so it's not a daban dikur oimid b'fnei atzmai. That can say, oh, it's mechzik mevashal, he cooked that thing. It blends in with the rest of the hot tea or the rest of the hot coffee that's there. So it's not oimid b'fnei atzmai. So they never ask it over there. But if it's a, let's say, an egg, I'm going to put a raw egg into a klisheni, it's going to get cooked. So that's mechzikim mevashal. That's what we're machmer. We say that's mechzikim mevashal. So we have a din, let's say we have a din of, even though ain't bishul lachad bishul, but you're not permitted to do hachazor. Hachazor is only also if it's hakabi hoesh. So let's say I have a bowl of burning hot soup. It's a klisheni. I have a bowl of burning hot soup. And I have soup nuts. Or I have a piece of challah. Or I have, let's say, matzah. I enjoy breaking up matzah and throwing the matzah farfel into the burning hot soup. So the lacharit zayn bishul achad bishul. The matzah was edible before. It was baked already a long time ago. And I'm not putting it back. If I take the matzah and I put it back al gabi ha'esh, then you say that's hachazor. They prohibit hachazor al gabi ha'esh. But if it's, I'm not putting agave esh, I poured the soup from the soup pot into the soup bowl, and now the soup bowl is on the table, it's not agave esh. To put in some matzah, some challah, or soup nuts or something like that, that should really be ein bishul achad bishul. And it shouldn't be an issue of hachazor, because it's not agave esh. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes another chumra, Rav Lezer Mimitz, was a Talmud of the Rabbeinu Tam. He wrote the Sefer Yireim. Sefer Yireim is like a Sefer HaMitzvahs. He lists off one mitzvah after the other, the Taryag mitzvahs of Torah. And because he was a balatesis, every so often he'll throw in something that we never heard of before, because he's a Rishon, so he always writes something new. So the Taisus himself quotes this of Lezer Mimitz. The Gemara says, if you have a matzah that was baked before Pesach, a shmura matzah that you want to eat for the Seder, and you soak it in cold water. So then, if it's a matzah shruya, you soak it in cold water. That's a person, his teeth, an older person, he can't chew anymore. So he has to soak the matzah, so the chassidim don't eat the gibrochs. Chassidim wouldn't eat it, okay. But they're talking not for chassidim. So you'll eat gibrochs. So the Gemara said that's not a problem. Even though I make it sagan, I make it very soft and it's not as crispy as it was before at all. So the Gemara said that's okay. Well, what if it'll be a matzah mevushelis? What if I take the matzah and I put it into burning hot liquid and I mevashel it? So then the Gemara says that it's no good. So that's the question, why is it no good? So the Tesis says that perhaps the Pashup Pshat and the Gemara, we're so used to learning the Tesis, Pashup Pshat and the Gemara is no good because it's matzah shira. If you have a matzah mevushelis, that's called matzah shira. We usually think there are different kinds of matzah shira. So this is one. If you have matzah mevushelis, that's matzah shira. But the Rav Lezer in Mitz has a different reason why. He holds, he's of the opinion, ein bishol achar bishol, ein afia achar afia, but yesh afia achar bishol, yesh bishol achar afia. If you do a different form of bishol, afia is one form and bishol is another form. So if you have matzah, which has to be afuya, the matzah is only called lechem if you did lish of afia. So after you did the afia, then you do a bishol. So we say yesh bishol achar afia, and the matzah is no longer yesh bishol achar afia. Now it's called the matzah mevushelis, and the bishol is mafkia. It's mevatel the afia. So you have matzah that doesn't have an afia. It had an afia, but the afia was canceled because it was followed with a bishol. Yesh bishol achar afia. So I'm eating the matzah, and that's a matzah mevushelis, and it's not called an afuya. It's not afuya, so it's not called lechem. So Tesis has a discussion. Why is it not called lechem? Okay, whole discussion in Tesis. Only if it had a bli l'rakos. But if it had a bli l'ovah, then it's lechem, according to Rabbi Natan, even if you have a bishul later on. So this chumr is quoted in Shulchan Aruch, that if you have a bowl of hot soup, if the hot soup is below yatzoledes, so it's not hot, it's tainin. But if the hot soup is above yatzoledes, so that's called the chamin. Yatzoledes is called chamin. And you're going to put in matzah or matzah farfel or soup nuts or challah. So then with machmer, a whole bunch of chumers. When machmer for the Ri, balatayses, even that the Ri was mesupik, so the Ramaz machmer, that there's bishul b'klisheni is also with the Rabban if you're going to eat the thing. If you're putting in tablin, which you're not going to eat, then there's no problem. If you're putting in liquid and the liquid gets mixed in with the other liquid, also no problem with the Rabban. But if you put in a double gush that you're going to eat, and it's a bifnei oimet bifnei atzma, then there's bishul with the Rabban. And when machmer like Rav Lezer and Mitz, yesh bishul achar afia. So if you have soup nuts that were baked, or challah matzah, and you put it into the bowl of burning hot soup, so we're machmad that yesh bishol achar afia. So that'll be a violation of bishol. It's a combination of a few chumris together. This din that there's no bishol b'klisheni, so the Mishnah says, only applies by normal food, because the tvanis mikara rice. So it's so you know in advance that's probably not going to work. If I pour the water from the kettle was on the fire. If I pour the water from the kettle into a klisheni, and then I'm going to put the raw egg into the klisheni, there's a good chance that it won't work. It won't cook. So even if I do succeed and it does cook it, you say ein bishul b'klisheni because ein derech bishul b'kach. So that's only if it's an egg or some other food that you really need bishul to make it roi l'achil. What if there are certain foods that are kali habishol that very easily become this bashol? So the Mishnah has a few examples. Kol yisay ispinim and dag maliach. Some kind of fish that they would get in Spain. Kol yisay ispinim in the Mediterranean. Spain borders on the Mediterranean. I don't even know. I think kol yisay ispinim is a Spanish fish. So that does need so much bishul. So then the Mishnah says that yesh bishul b'klisheni. It does need so much bishul. So it is derech bishul b'kach. So then it'll be the whole din that ain't bishul b'klisheni. It does explain because ain't derech bishul b'kach. Because tvanis mikaros. But if the thing is mikalia bishul, then there will be bishul b'klisheni. It'll be a malacha deraisa. I'll be pashtas. Yeah. So we usually assume that it's very rare to have something that's kali habishol, that you'll violate bishol in a cliché. So the Mishnah Brura quotes some of the achrayim who came up with an idea. We always, whatever we don't know for sure, you always have to be machmah and everything that maybe it's kali habishol. So if you're going to take a tea bag and put it into a cup of hot water, so maybe the tea bag is kali habishol, and you'll be in violation of bishul deraisa. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that was not correct. He used to say jokingly that his grandfather, I think he means his mother's father, he was by the mother's father a lot. He says his grandfather was a very religious man, and his grandfather used to put tea bags into the klisheni. That he thought that tea bags are not kalei habish. Then the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Chayyadim another chumrah that's also the Chayyadim himself says it's highly questionable chumrah. Namely, that there's a Rambam writes in one place, not in Hilchos Shabbos, the Rambam writes in Hilchos Maisris, that when you say there's no bishul b'klisheni, that's if the water in the klisheni is only atzaleres, but what if it's scalding hot water? It's scalding in the sense if you put your hand in, you'll have a scar. It'll burn your hand. Yad nichlisbo. If not yad saledisbo is miloshem asalda v'chila mipanecha. If you put your hand in, your instinctive reaction will be to jump away. If you're not prepared in advance, you didn't realize that it's burning hot water, so then your instinctive reaction will be to pull your hand away. That's called yad saledis. But yad nichlis means, even if you just put your hand in briefly, you'll have a red mark on your hand. It'll burn your hand. So if it's yad nichves, then the Rambam writes in one place that there's bishul afilu b'klisheni. So usually when people drink tea, Europeans, when they used to drink tea, they used to have scalding hot tea. They would have the kettle would be mamish burning hot tea, and so since the hot burning hot water in the klisheni, when you pour it from the kettle into the cups, it's still burning hot. Yad nichves by. So then you say yesh bishul afilu b'klisheni. Because it's Yad Nichvis Bar. So the truth of the matter, the Chayyadim himself says that this is a big Chumrah, because the Rambam quotes it from Yerushalmi, but it's the Rambam in Hilchas Maisris. What's it doing in Hilchas Maisris? The din is that anything, any fruits or vegetables or grain, and anything that grows in Eretz Yisrael, that's Roy Lachilas Adam, is Chay the Trumas and Maisris. And if you eat it without being Mapish Trumas and Maisris, you violated the Yisat Tevel. And the din is that on real tevel d'araisa, there's misa b'dei shemayim. Bizman hazeh, there are more paskans like the Rambam. The truma bizman hazeh is only the Rabbanim. The Gemara says that in a lot of places. And the Rambam paskans are like that la'aloch. And the Rambam sheet is, a truma bizman hazeh is only the Rabbanim. I feel it be mei Ezra. The Rambam holds, not truma bizman hazeh after the churban abayis, because lo kitcha lo si lovoi, because you don't have kol yoshveh aleh, whatever, no. The Rambam says it's only the Rabbanim. That's how the Rambam says. So the Rambam follows that Rambam. Truma b'zman hazeh is only the Rabbanim. So there won't be misa b'dei shemayim, but there still will be an isa tevel. So the isa tevel min haTorah only implies if you did miruach and riyas pnei abayis. Miruach means you separated, took out all the psalas, you detached the oichel from the psalas, and you removed all of the psalas, and you put it, Rashi learns, and you put it in a neat pile. And you made it smooth on top. You made a neat pile of the oichel, and there's no psoilus. That's miruach. Rias pnei abayis means you brought it inside. It's not al pnei asoda. You brought it inside the barn, or inside the silo. So in our Torah, it's only tevel to be chay misa b'dei shemayim. The real chiyuv hafroshes chumas amayis is only if he really did miruach and rias pnei abayis. With the rabbanon, they made a din that even before miruach and rias pnei abayis, if you eat it achilas keva, then it's asa. If you eat it achilas aroy, it's mutar. What's called achilas keva? If you eat so much that you're full, that's one achilas keva. Or there are a whole bunch of other things that are called achilas keva. So one is Shabbos kovas. Whatever you eat on Shabbos, even a little snack, is called achilas keva. Mekach is keva. If I bought the tevel from somebody else, but I didn't do the miruach and the rias pnei abayis yet, but mekach is keva. The fact that I bought it from the other person shows that it has chashidus. And then it's called achilas keva. Melech is kaveh if I salt it. So bishul is kaveh. So there the Rambam, when he's listing off all the six or seven things that are kaveh, so he says, bishul is kaveh, only bishul bikli rishon, but if it's bikli sheni, there's no bishul, unless it's yad nechvizboi. If it's yad nechvizboi, then it is called achilas keva. So the Chayyadim himself says, you can't prove from that Rambam, the Rambam is quoting in Rishalmi there, you cannot prove from the Rambam that Bishul Bikli Sheni is Dino Kit Bishul if it's Yad Nichves. If Bishul has a Koveya, it's called Achilas Keva, but it doesn't show that in Hilchas Bishul. It's like Mekach, it's like Melach. Mekach is not the Malacha Bishul on Shabbos. Bishul Bikli Sheni is a Dova HaKoveya. If it's bishul b'klisheni adechves, it's considered achilas kevah, but it doesn't necessarily carry over to Hilchas Shabbos.
Don't you say that the gush in the klisheni is also bishul?
Right. Those were the two days in the ri. That was the suffix of the ri, because the Mishnah only says to do iri from a klisheni on the food is mutter. Why not? Why only iri from the klisheni? Even putting the double gush into the klisheni should also be mutter. So the ri was misupik. Maybe anachanami it is mutter. Maybe it's also because mechzikin mevashon. So the Ramot paskins lachumra that it's mechzikin mevashon midirabonim. Yeah. Mechzikin mevashon midirabonim. But the Chayyadim came up with this suggestion. So the Mishnah Berurah writes it as if that's the real din. The Chazon Ish writes that the Chayyadim himself, the true Chayyadim himself, said it as a chumrah. And when you learn Yeridaya and you have all the dinim there, that a bliya bikli, we paskan nikar a din like this. So not only there's no bishul bikli sheni, a treifa bliya will not be transmitted in a klisheni, even though it's mamish burning hot. And in Yeridaya, nobody says the chilik between Yad Soledis and Yad Nichvis. They don't say if it's Yad Nichvis, but then there's bishul. The later poskim already, the modern poskim quoted because of this Chayyadim said in Hilchas Shabbos that bishul b'klisheni, if he's Yad Nichvis, it's may bishul. So they apply it also to Yeridaya. But you learn Yeridaya. When you learn Yeridaya and you don't have this Mishnah Berurah, when you learn Yeridaya, then nobody mentions that on the page. Nobody mentions that. That when it's Yad Nichvis, it's dinik bishul, and there's a bliya b'klisheni. The Pashta says that there is no such thing. Rav Soloveitchik pointed out that already during his lifetime, when he was still giving shiur, a few years, 15 years before he passed away, so he said they started a new practice, this is around 40 years ago, that at fancy bar mitzvahs, or fancy sheva brachas on Shabbos, so when they serve you, let's say, the soup on Shabbos morning, or on Friday night, whatever, or they'll serve you a hot cholent, so they don't want it to cool down too much, but they're going to pour it from the pot in which it was cooked, going to take a ladle and put it into a klisheni. So it's going to be tfanas makaros. So they started a new shtick that they preheat the bowls that they're going to pour the soup into. So you have a warm bowl, and then you pour the soup into it. So normally when you pour soup into a klisheni, so you have what Tysus calls tfanas makaros, but here they preheated the bowl before they poured in the soup, so the tfanas won't be makara. So Rav Soloveitchik said there's room to be machmer to say that it doesn't have a din of klisheni. Maybe it retains the din of iri. Can't be more than iri. Can't be more than iri, but it should be like iri from a klivish. What's talk of the din of iri from a klivish? And let's say I have a kettle I was cooking on the fire, and then I take the kettle off of the fire and I start pouring. So when you have iri, I'm going to pour directly on top of, I have something there, some food on the bottom, some raw food. I'm going to pour from the kettle on a raw egg, and I'm going to keep on pouring so long till the raw egg is going to get cooked. So, iri klivishan, is that mevashel or is that mevashel? So, there are contradictory diyukim from the Mishnah. The Mishnah says you're not allowed to put the egg into the klivishan, even though the klivishan is no longer agabi ho'esh, because that's bishul betoldas ha'ur. Bishul Batalasur is a chiyav chatas, it's a din deraisa, but he says you're allowed to put the egg into the klisheni. So why doesn't it, then it says iri from a klisheni is mutter. Why doesn't it say iri from a klivishon? Why does it only say you're allowed to put it into the klisheni? What about iri from a klivishon? So there are contradictions in the diukim in the Mishnah. So it's a machlokes and taisus, the Rabbi Natam and the Rashbam. What do you do with these diukim? Whether you hold iri klivishon is mevashel or not mevashel. So the Psak HaMekubal is not like either. Psak HaMekubal is like the Rabbeinu Baruch, the one who wrote the Sefer HaTrumah. He was a Talmud of the Balei HaTosfos. Tosfos in Zvachim quotes Rabbeinu, every so often they quote him. Tosfos in Zvachim quotes him by name, Rabbeinu Baruch, the author of the Sefer HaTrumah. Sefer HaTrumah is like a little Sefer Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. Has all the din of the Kitzur, but because he was a Rishon, he was a Balei HaTosfos, every so often he'll throw in a comment, or throw in an original sheet, or throw in an explanation that doesn't appear in any other region. So here the Rabbeinu Baruch in the Sefer HaTrumah, and Tosfos quotes in his name in Zvachim. on Shabbos they also quote, but they, I don't think they quote him by name. So Rabbeinu Bar came up with the compromise that's accepted in Shulchan Aruch. He is mevashel kedei klipa. He was, if I take some food and I put it, I have a kettle with burning hot water that was cooked on top of the fire. I take the kettle off of the fire, so it's a klivish and shaloi agabi ha'ish. And I put in some raw food, so it's mevashel kedei kulo, because the burning hot water is going to be mevashel through and through. But if I pour burning hot water from the klivish and on top of some food, it's only mevashel the outer kedei klipa, the upper kedei klipa. And more than that, not. So that's what we follow, that opinion. That here is Mavashal Kadekli.
How long do they have to eat the kli for it to be a problem?
It should be hot enough that it'll prevent the soup from cooling down so quickly. So you can apply the idea of the Tefanas Makara race, yeah. Okay, so this was basically Chazora. I think we covered all of this already in the first couple of weeks, but different times, so let's put it all together. So let's go back to Arinya. So there's a din of Chazora. You're not allowed to take fully cooked food from the refrigerator, put it back on top of the fire, even though you have a blech. The Ashkenazim hold that that's considered agabi hoish, unless you have a kedera, agabi kedera, unless you have a blech and you have a bottom pot, unless you have a samovar. Then on top of the samovar, I'll take off the lid from the samovar, so I have all the burning hot steam coming up from the burning hot water. Then I'll take a kugel from the refrigerator, chicken from the refrigerator, I put it in a pot on top of the samovar, so it's kedera, agabi kedera. The element is on the bottom of the samovar. So the water in the samovar is considered alagabi hoesh, but that's not a problem. Okay, and then the pot on top of that that has the cholent or the kugel or the that has the chicken, that's keder agabi kedera. So that's a machloika. So we pass on that's not called agabi hoesh. So this is not called agabi hoesh. So there's no isa hachazara over there. So, but to take, let's say, food out of the refrigerator and to put it back on top of the rack, so the Ashkenaz mold, that's a violation of Hachazor. So now we mentioned last week, the Ramah quotes Akula from the Ran based on his Girsa in the Yerushalmi. In our Yerushalmi, it doesn't exist. In our Yerushalmi, what the Ran quoted as a sentence is a run-on paragraph. According to our Yerushalmi, it was a Torah Sefer, what the Ran had. But the Ran had a Yerushalmi that says like this, all of these restrictions that you're not allowed to put food back on top of the blech, this is only if the food was not on the blech when Shabbos entered. But if Betchilas Knesses on Shabbos, this food was on the blech, and then you took it off in the middle of Shabbos, even if it's not Oida B'Yodai, and it's not Daita L'Hachzir, even if you put it back on the table, you're allowed to put it back on top of the fire on Shabbos, that's a hemshech from its being on top of the blech in the beginning of Shabbos. Whenever it's a hemshech, so I call it Shehiyah. Whenever it's a Nesina Mechadosh, then you call it Hachazor. You're not allowed to do Hachazor. You're not allowed to do a Nesina Mechadosh on Shabbos. Take out from the refrigerator, put on top of the blech, something that was not on the fire in the beginning of Shabbos. That's a Nesina Mechadosh. That's Hachazor. But if it was on the blech in the beginning of Shabbos and you put it back, even if it's not oy to be other, but that Lachzer, it's Mutan. Yeah. So that's the kula that the Ran has based on Yerushalmi. Several Rishonim had that girsa in Yerushalmi. And the Rambam, who is known to quote Yerushalmi very often, and every so often the Bir HaGro will write, Kedarka Shal HaRambam Lipsikaha Yerushalmi Neged HaBavli Bekama Mekaymas. Every so often the Rambam will pass like Yerushalmi, even when it contradicts the Bavli. The riff in the end of the Erevin has a cloud. Whenever there's a machlekes between the Bavli and Yerushalmi, we always pass on like the Bavli. Why? Because Hilchasa Kebasroi, the Bavli was completed by Ravina Rabashi. That was a few generations after the Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi was completed by Talmid Rabbi Yecham. Rabbi Yecham was the first generation of Amarai. He was a Talmud of Rabbi Yudah Nasi. So the Talmid Rabbi Yecham were the ones who edited the Yerushalmi. So that's much earlier. And then he assumes that the Chachmei HaBavli were aware of everything that it says in the Yerushalmi. That's a very questionable, controversial assumption. Is that true? that the Chachmei HaBavli knew everything that it says in Yerushalmi? Where did they get this idea from? Because every so often the Gemara will refer to a story, and the story never appears anywhere in Talmud Bavli, and the only source we have is the Talmud Yerushalmi. So there you have it. You see, the Chachmei HaBavli knew everything in Yerushalmi, including the stories. The others say, no, the stories were floating in the air. It doesn't mean that they knew everything. I don't know too much from Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky or Moshe Feinstein, but I heard a lot of stories about them. So the stories I can tell you over. But what they said, Kiseida, I never read this far. So I don't know what Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, but the stories, you know. So that's questionable, but that's the famous Riv. The Riv writes like that at the end of the Erevin. There's a contradiction between the Bavli and Yerushalmi regarding the Gzera Derabbanan and the Mashmiya Kol. They prohibited on Shabbos and Yom Tov, there's an Issa Derabbanan and Mashmiya Kol. So Mashmiya Kol, does it apply if you're knocking on the door? Person comes home Friday night and the door is locked to his own house. So he screams out, let me in. So the Yerushalmi tells the story, the guy was screaming, and they didn't hear. So he didn't knock on the door because that's Mashmiya Kol. If you knock on the door, it's an Issa Mashmiya Kol, Zerushami Yisakim Klishir. According to the Bavli, that's not an Issa Mashmiya Kol. So you're permitted to knock on the door. And we assume, like the Bavli, it's permitted. You're not allowed to play musical instruments. Or if you have a knocker, when machmer anat, most are machmer, some are mekel anat, if you have a kli ha-miyuchad la-hashmas kol, you have a knocker on the door that's miyuchad for making noise, so that's also an iser ha-mashmiya kol. But just to knock with your hand, to knock on the door, so that the Bavli holds his mutter. So the Rib says, whenever there's machlek, is the Bavli, in Yerushalmi, you assume the Bavli considered everything that it says in the Yerushalmi, and they decided against it. So that's Hilchos HaKed Asroi, because we assume that the Chachamim and the later generations took everything into consideration. If you know that the later Chachamim were not aware of what the earlier Chachamim said, then you don't apply the rule of Hilchos HaKed Asroi. So the Rif is assuming that the Chachmei HaBavli were aware of everything that it says in the Yerushalmi. So there's several books that were written, Svarim in Hebrew, were written on this topic. Is it really true that the Chachmei HaBavli knew everything that it says in Yerushalmi? It's a historical question. So the Rambam usually follows that rule. Whenever there's a stira between the Bavli and Yerushalmi, we follow the Bavli. It's even Tosfos in the end of Ksuvos, and Avku Besa Manal of Tosfos has, not only do we follow the Bavli against the Yerushalmi when it's a Shaila and Halacha, what if there are two versions of what Rabbi Yochanan said? Rabbi Yochanan's Talmidim were the ones who edited the Talmud Yerushalmi. So one might have thought, I would have thought, that the Yerushalmi is more reliable than the Bavli, more trustworthy than the Bavli. They heard other things in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Talmidim would come to Bavel and tell him what they heard from Rabbi Yochanan. But it's a lot of times a third hand, fourth hand. Maybe the Yerushalmi is more correct. So Tosfos says, no, we rely on the Bavli as opposed to the Yerushalmi, even when there are two versions of what Rabbi Yochanan said. We assume the Bavli is more accurate. That's a Chiddush. That is a Chiddush. And nonetheless, the Bir Agroa, every so often, there's a problematic Rambam. That's again, and the Lechem Mishnah stands on his head. How can the Rambam say it's against the Gemara? So the Lechem Mishnah gives a whole, the Rambam is bothered with Tosfos Kash, and therefore, he and I are against the Pshetl. And a lot of times, the Merkabah Mishnah says, no, the Rambam passes like the Yerushalmi against the Bavli. And the Bir Agroa writes like that also, Kedarka shal Rambam livsika Yerushalmi neged HaBavli become a Mekonis. Every so often, the Rambam will paskin like the Yerushalmi against the Bavli. So the Rambam is the one who often paskins like Yerushalmi's against Bavli's. Kedarka livsika Yerushalmi neged HaBavli become a Mekonis. Nonetheless, the Rambam doesn't quote this Yerushalmi that the Ran quoted, that whatever food was on the blech on Erev Shabbos, even if you took it off on Shabbos and you put it down, in Yechagabi Karka, they ain't like the lachs, it's mutter to put it back on top of the fire. How come the Rambam doesn't quote it? So in our editions of the Yerushalmi, we have the Pemosha and the Mara upon him. So they write on the bottom of the page. The Rambam probably had the Girsa that we have in Yerushalmi, that this Yerushalmi doesn't exist. It's a run on paragraph. The Ran had the last few words in one paragraph as a sentence with the first few words in the next paragraph. By us, we have a whole Piska from the Mishnah in between the Mamish, two different paragraphs. So the Rambam didn't quote this to Yerushalmi because he probably didn't have that girsa. So that's why the Ramo in Shulchan Aruch quotes that in Krakow, where he lived in Poland, Krakow, the minig was lehakel, that whatever food was on the blech on Erev Shabbos, even if they would It wouldn't be Oda Biyada with a Dr. Nahach Sevelein, it's Tan Legami. It would already cool down. So they would put it back on top of the Blech on Shabbos. They would follow that Yerushalmi that there's no Isser HaChazor. So the Ramah recommends you shouldn't follow that Kula because not all the Rishonim, all from that. That's the Ran's Girsan Yerushalmi. Especially the way we have Yerushalmi, that it's Mamish Toysa. It's a Toys Sefer. The Pashtus is that it's a Toys Sefer. So then Rav Soloveitchik said, sometimes it would be Mefarsim this Heter. He told us originally, there was a girl who was a Balas Chuvah and her parents were not so observant. So the Shaila was, how's they gonna, the parents always reheated the food on Shabbos. So Rav Soloveitchik said, for Balas Chuvah, he said he was Mekel. Because the Ramah says that was the Midian and Krakow. So he said, see to it that the food should be on the blech on Erev Shabbos, even if the parents take it off and they put it in the refrigerator. Then, since there is such a shita, so you can rely, the Shas HaTak, you can rely on that. But then years later, not only did he advocate this kula for the Balei Tshuva who were stuck, it was a Shas HaTak, he would be mefarsim this kula in the Shulchan Aruch. But the Pashto says, Rav Moshe Feinstein writes, you shouldn't rely on the kula because the Ramah rejects it. He says, even though that was the meeting at Krakow, it's not right to be mekel. And the way we have the Rishalmi, it doesn't exist at all. So Rav Soloveitchik, when he would talk about this kula, so he would say, not only if the food was on the blech in the beginning of Shabbos, what if the woman benches lech 20 minutes before shkia? And you have all the four burners on. You have a big blech that covers all the four burners, and all the four burners are on there, four pots on top of the four burners. After the wife benches licht, then the husband's going to go to shul to daven mincha. So the husband is going to turn out the fire by three burners, and you're only going to have one burner on. So as far as the husband is concerned, when he's mekabel Shabbos, only one pot was agabi hoesh at betchilas haShabbos. So he's only allowed to put that one pot back. If that pot was taken off of the fire, he's allowed to put it back. But as far as the wife is concerned, since when the wife benched lift, she's mekabel Shabbos, so she's allowed to, and then the husband turned off the fire by the three burners, so the wife would be allowed to put back all the four pots on top of the fire, even though they were taken off. That's a highly questionable kula. There's a Tosfos in Erevin, where the Tosfos has two opinions about Chum Shabbos. Then is a person is not allowed to go chutz l'tchum. How do you determine what your tchum is? It depends, where are you, ben hashmashes of Shabbos. Wherever you are, that's your kind of shvisa at that place. Unless you leave an erev tchumen somewhere. So let's say you don't have an erev tchumen, you're in a location. So that's your kind of shvisa in that makom. So they say a person wants to travel by boat. So if rov of the passengers on the boat are Jewish, then it's considered as if the Goyisha sailors are doing the malachas on Shabbos on behalf of the Jews. But if rov of the passengers on the boat are Goyim, so the malachas that they do is considered the malachas done for the Goyim. So it's not a nisar of Amir Eliakim, because the rov of the people are Goyim and the malachas done for the Goyim. But the question is, you're going to go michutz l'tchum? So the Taisus has two opinions. What if the person will go, the boat is going to leave Shabbos morning, 10 o'clock in the morning. So the person is going to, if the person is going to be on the dry land on Friday evening, he's going to go home, he's going to be home, he's going to cut, he brings his luggage on the boat before Shabbos, and then he's going to walk on the boat on Shabbos morning, 10 o'clock. So he was kind of shvisa in his home. So then he's going on the boat is going to go mechutz l'tchum. So then it's an issue, he's going mechutz l'tchum. So that's going to be an issue. But if he's kind of shvisa, let's say he'll be mekabel Shabbos at Plaga Mincha. We'll have to discuss that when we learn Simon Reish Samach Aleph. How early can you be mekabel Shabbos? But let's say Plaga Mincha is an hour and a quarter before the Shkia. So there are more rights. You can't be mekabel Shabbos prior to Plaga Mincha, but after Plaga Mincha you can. So let's say the person will be, they give him permission to come on the boat on Friday. So he's going to come on the boat. He'll daven Mincha. Then he'll be mekabel Shabbos, and then he'll make kiddush on the boat, and eat, and bench, and then he'll go to sleep at home. But it was kind of shvisa on the boat, betchilas haShabbos, not betchilas haShabbos at shkia, betchilas haShabbos, when he's mekabel Shabbos. So this din that a person is kind of shvisa, and the Trum Shabbos is established by Knesset HaShabbos, does it depend on Knesset HaShabbos for everybody? Bein HaShmoshes? Does it depend on each individual person? When was that person mekabel Shabbos? So you look in the Mishnah Berurah, Mishnah Berurah doesn't quote this machlokes. Mishnah Berurah assumes that it doesn't depend on your personal Kabbalah Shabbos. It depends, Bein HaShmoshes, when it's Shabbos al Pidin, for everybody, not when you. Not when you personally want to come to Shasarab. So then she gave this whopper of a kula. It's a kula on top of a kula, on the assumption that you follow that Ron's girsa in the Yerushalmi, that if the food was on the blech, the tchilas HaShabbos, even though you took it off and you put it in the refrigerator, you're allowed to put it back on top of the blech. It's considered a hemshech from before. It's not a it's a hemshech, so I call it shehiya. That itself is a whopper of a kula, but that was the minigan Krakow. The Rama says, so then he had a kula on top of that. If when the wife benches licht, all the four burners are on. And then the husband, after she benches licht and she's makabel Shabbos, then the husband turns off the three burners. So as far as the wife is concerned, all four pots were al gadi ha'esh b'tchilas on Shabbos. So she's allowed to put all four back on top of the blech on Shabbos. That was a very...
Can he eat from those three blechs? If she puts it back in...
Yeah, he said you're permitted, even the husband who did the malacha afterwards. But the wife did beheta. The wife didn't do anything wrong. Because for her it was beheta. So she's allowed to put it back on. This is a whopper of a kula. The Pashta said that's not at all the generally accepted opinion.
Kli al gabi kli. If I turn the cover over and put the food on the cover.
Also,
Kli al
gabi. Yes, I think so. The cover becomes the clay, I think so. Yeah.
What if you just take the kugel and you put it on top of the clay? You take the kugel, you put it in a foil on top of the clay.
Okay.
So you don't really need a clay agave clay. You just as long as the food is agave clay that has food in it, you're saying it's.
I think that's what it means. I think that is correct. So Shin Yutches has all the dinim of Bishul. Bishul HaHabishul, Bishul HaHafi, Afi HaHabishul, and has all the details, Kli Rishon, Kli Sheni, and so on. And Resh Nun Gimel has all the dinim of Shehiya VaHachazora. But you have to put them together. Whenever you have a heter to do HaChazora, you have to make sure that you're not in violation of Bishul Deraisa. Let's say the food is not fully cooked. It's only Kamachu Ben Durisoi. Then you're not allowed to put it back on top of the fire, because once you took it off, it's not mavushal kol tzarkai. So then to put it back on is going to cause it to become mavushal kol tzarkai. So we're machmer on that yesh bishul achabishul. If it's only mavushal kamacha ben derusoi, then you're going to put it back on top of the fire to make it mavushal kol tzarkai. That's a bishul deraisa. So then it doesn't help that it's going to be other b'daita lahachzor lein it's stan legamri. All the conditions of hachazora to make it muta with the blech, all these conditions. It's only if the whole issue involved is only hachazara. But if you have an issue of bishul deraisa, then you can't be mekel on that. So Shin Yudches really starts off with the penalty in the middle of Perek HaNizokin. In the middle of Gittin is a Perek HaNizokin. So the Mishnah talks about hametame v'hamedame v'hamenasech. That's what we call hezek sheina nika. I was matame someone else's truma, so you can't eat it. Truma tmeya, it may not be eaten. Hamadame, I mixed in, he has chulin, and I poured in a little truma into the chulin, and now can only be eaten by kohanim tohirim. Because it's a tarubis of chulin and truma, so only kohanim can eat it, the tahara. So I was mazik the chulin. They can't eat the chulin betuma, and a zar can't eat the chulin anymore. So, but that's a hezek sheina nika. So hezek sheina nika, we paskin hezek sheina nika lashmei hezek menatori. You're not chayiv to pay because hezek sheina nika. But midrabbanan, you are chayiv to pay aknas. So the Gemara there has a discussion. The Mishnah says if you did hametame v'hametame menasech, if you did it b'mezid, you're chayiv. If you did it b'shogeg, you're not chayiv to pay. Why? So the Gemara says lo konsum shogeg to mezid. It's only aknas midrabbanan. So they didn't make a penalty b'shogeg, only b'mezid. So Gaitavek Hagansa Sugya there in Perek HaNizokin, and the Gemara quotes another 10, 15 cases whether Kansu Shogat Amezer or not, that a person planted a tree in the middle of Shnas HaShemitah in Eretz Yisrael, which you're not allowed to do. So they penalized this. You have to chop down the tree. So what if he planted it b'shogeg? A person did a malach on Chalamoy. B'shogeg, they say Kansu Shogat Amezer. Or he married Moberes Chaver, Menekes Chaver, B'shogeg, so they say he has to get divorced. They make a penalty, has to divorce her, or just enough, they shouldn't be together, they shouldn't live together till the 2 years are up. So the Gemara has many, many cases, a discussion of whether Kansu Shogat Amezer. So the here in Shulchan Aruch, they have discussions based on Gemaras, but it's not all explicit, 100%. Some is Gemaras Beferish, and some is the Rishonim added on. If a person violated Shehir, a person violated Hachazorah, so sometimes you have penalties, sometimes only B'mezid, and sometimes even B'shogeg. You have different detailed cases. So then there's another din, a Nochri Shasa Malacha B'Shvil Yisrael, a Goy. A Goy went fish. My next door neighbor has a Goy, and he knows that I enjoy Yechveis apples. So he plucked a whole bunch of, I didn't ask him, he plucked a whole bunch of apples. He knows that I'm not allowed to at Shabbos. So he plucked apples and he brings it to my home and he says, here's some apples. Rabbi, he just plucked them off fresh from the tree today. So the Gemara says, you're not allowed to eat it on Shabbos and you have to wait b'chdei she'yasu ha'metzoy Shabbos. Let's say it took him an hour to drive to the place. There are no apple trees in the whole area. It took him an hour to drive to the place where you can pluck the apples and an hour to come back. So you have to wait 2 hours and 5 minutes. You have to wait b'chdei she'yasu after Shabbos is over. So that's a machloikis. Rashi and Tosfos, what is that all about, waiting b'chdei she'yasu? So Rashi says, k'dei she'lo nihonas b'melacha Shabbos. If you'll have the hanoah right after Shabbos is over, then you're being then of a melacha Shabbos. And Tosfos says, there is no such thing. What's wrong? Why you're not allowed to get hanoah from melacha Shabbos? The goy did the melacha, what's wrong? So Tosfos says, that's not why. Tosfos said, tanoim, when they made the gzeir of Amir Liakum, they knew that this gzeira is not going to have too much mazel. Over the years, there's a book, Professor Urbach wrote a book, Goy Shel Shabbat. The Jews always had a Shabbos Goy. And Bnei Brak, the Goy walks around with a vest that says Goy Shel Shabbat. So everybody knows there's a Shabbos Goy, and you ask him to do everything. So there are certain kulas, and Amir Liakum, B'Zoyin Kisvei HaKodesh, Mishum Amir Liakum is Mutam, Amakam Tzabal Lechaim, to milk the cows. You have a whole bunch of kulas. We discussed some of them. We didn't discuss all of them. There are certain kulas, but basically, Amir Leakum is not allowed. So the Jews always violated this din. It didn't have too much mazel. So Tosfos says that Tanoim knew in advance that this takone, this chumra of Amir Leakum is not going to be too successful. People are going to violate it. They're going to ask the goy before Shabbos to do the malachas for them. And then they're going to make believe as if the goy did it on his own. So even if the goy did do it on his own, the goy plucked off the apples on his own, we tell the Jew, you're not allowed to wait, you're not allowed to eat it till b'chdei she'yasu, so he's not going to gain anything if he asks the goy to pluck off the apples, because he's going to have to wait 2 hours and 10 minutes after Shabbos is over anyway. So then if he has to wait so long, so he may as well do it b'heter, why should he do it b'yisr? Why should he tell the goy on Erev Shabbos, pluck off apples and make believe that you did it on your own? He may as well wait till the Shabbos is over and go drive over and pluck the apples himself. So Tosfos says that this whole din of b'chdei she'yasu only applies if the goy does malacha b'shvil Yisrael. A Jew should do malacha, and you're going to say, make a penalty. The Jew is going to make believe as if it happened by itself. He's going to make believe that it was b'shogeg. A Jew is not going to do a malacha b'mezid and make believe that it's b'shogeg. So Tosfos says the whole din of b'chdei she'yasu doesn't apply if a Jew did the malacha. It only applies if the goy did. Here in the Siman Reish Nun Gimel, sometimes it says you do need b'chdei she'yasu. So you got to figure out. So the Beit Zur worked hard on this detail. When do you need b'chdei she'yasu, when not? So the son of the three volumes called Kisvei HaChafetz Chaim, many people have it in their library. So one of the volumes, they have a biography of the Chafetz Chaim that was written by one of his sons. So he writes in the middle of the biography, the project of working on the Mishnah Berurah was a whole teamwork, and different people wrote different parts of the Mishnah Berurah. So he writes, that's why every so often there's a contradiction in the Mishnah Berurah. So he gives an example. He says, I wrote this section, and my uncle wrote the other section. So that's why there's a stira on this din, he says. But they need b'chneshi asu if a Jew did the malacha on Shabbos. So that's a machlekes Rashi and Tosfos. So he says in one place, I wrote the achra like, I forgot already who, which one of them, and one of them wrote the achra like Rashi, that b'chneshi asu applies even if it, whether a Jew or a goy did the malacha. And the other one wrote the achra like Tosfos, the b'chneshi asu only applies if the goy did the malacha, because the chachamim wanted to give chizuk to the prohibition of Amir Eliakim. They knew it's not going to be too successful. So they introduced Bechdeshi Yasu when the Nochri does Malach. So the every so often you have Stiris in the Mishnah Brura. In fact, we mentioned that Lubavitch requested of the Russian government for years, they're still requesting, the communist government confiscated all many of their different libraries in different cities. So they requested for years, they'd like the communist government to give back all the Lubavitch's farm. So they gave them back many of the Svarim. They're still requesting. They still didn't give back everything. When they gave back to Lubavitch, all of the Lubavitch's Svarim, by mistake, they also gave them back the original manuscript of the Mishnah Brura, the handwritten manuscript that was given to the printer to set the type. So the people, they say they have it in 770. The people who saw it told me that it's written in different color ink and different handwritings. It's obvious that it was written by different people, and they know, and the end, every so often, the Chafetz Chaim added on a comment at the end of a Bir Halacha, at the end of a Sivkot and the Mishnah Brura, they know which is his handwriting, what color ink he used. Each one used a different color ink. So it's taka true, what the son wrote in the biography. It's taka true that the different part, it's clear from the Mishnah Brura they were written by different people. You look in the Mishnah Brura, Chelek Aleph, you look in Chelek Vav, Chelek Vav is like a Minchas Chinuch. The Bir Halacha is like a Minchas Chinuch. It has pilpulim on the Gemara. A lot of times not even relevant to Halacha. It's just a pilpul on the Gemara. And Chelek Aleph is like a fancier Shari Tshuva. It's with more than like a Beheita with a Shari Tshuva with all put together. He doesn't have such strong the Uri Halacha like he has in Chelek Vav. And Hilcha Shabbos, there's a lot of Bir Halacha. So this is one of the several contradictions in the Mishnah Brura. Whether there is a din of Mechdesh Yasu if a Jew did Malacha on Shabbos. Okay, so Belineta, next week we'll have to continue. I'm not going to give this Chazara again. I don't know. I used to give Shir on Perakira once a week for a group of Balabatim only for an hour on Thursday nights in Paramus. So every Thursday night we started again from the first Mishnah because everybody, the whole week long, they weren't learning Perakira. But I don't think we'll Chazar everything again. We'll continue Belineta where we left off.
Rabbi,
we said if Chulin falls, if Truma falls into Chulin, so it's not worth as much. Why aren't we Mashal on the Truma?
Why aren't we Nishal on the Truma? Sometimes he can. Okay. You have to have a reason to be Nishal. What's he going to say? If I would know that it's going to fall in, I wouldn't have been Mafish this as Truma. It's probably ain't Poischem in Oilad. Is that, does that happen so often that the Truma falls into the Chulin? What's he going to say? If I would have known that it's going to fall in, it has to be something that's common. If they would have mentioned in advance, are you sure you want to be Mafresh? This is Truma, it may fall into the Chulin. He would have held himself back from being Mafresh Truma. He said, no, I'll be Mafresh Truma, but I'll be careful, it shouldn't fall in. So no one should ever be Mafresh Truma. You want to be initial, there is such a thing as Hatoris Nedorim and Hafrosh's Truma, but it's only if he made a mistake in the beginning. That if they would have told him, it's not a smart idea to be Mafresh Truma because of XYZ. So then if he would have held back, if it's true that he would have held back from being Mafresh the Truma, then it's a valid Sheila, then it's a valid Hatoris Nedorim. But you have to have good cause to be Mata the Neder. Before you ask, I'll be time. I just want to mention a brief Dvar Torah on the Sedra. In this week's Sedra, in the beginning, Yosef brought his two children, Manasseh and Ephraim, to Yaakov Avinu to give them a bracha. And then later, they told Yosef that the father was sick, and all the brothers came, and he gave all the brachas to everybody. But originally, it doesn't say that he's sick. So that's when he has the famous pasuk, "Hamalach Adolas Mekoro Yivarech Hasan Orim Dikarve Hem Shmi Yibarech Shalom Should Bless Manasseh and Ephraim." So this pasuk poses a problem. Rav Chaim Balozhiner, it's Yodua that when he sang Shalom Aleichem on Leil Shabbos, He believed that the stands of Barchun Elisham. He said, it's not proper to ask Malachim to help you, to give you any brachas. There's a Mishnah in Brachas that appears also in Megillah. It's unusual, the exact same Mishnah appears in two Mesichtes. If a person says, so you scream at him, you tell him it's not proper to say that. What's the Pirush Amilas? The Meiri has six interpretations. Rashi has two Pshatim on the Mishnah. Rashi has one Pshat, Yivachuch HaTayvim, only Tzadikim should daven. Rishayim have no right, good, righteous people should bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rishayim have no right to daven, to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then he has another Pshat, Yivachuch HaTayvim, only people who ate Kedei Sviya have an obligation to bench. Those who didn't eat Kedei Sviya, Yivachuch means to bench, Bichas HaMosn. Toivah means if they ate Kedei Sviya. If they didn't eat Kedei Sviya, they don't have to bench. That's on the level of the Raisa, that's the Din. But with the Rabbanon, they're Mechuyiv to bench, even if they didn't have Kedei Sviya. So those are the two Pshatim that Rashi has. And the Miri has a whole bunch of additional Pshatim. So one of the additional interpretations, totally different Pshatim, one of the interpretations that the Miri has, Yibachucha Toivah, doesn't mean the Toivah should bench the Rabbanon Shalaylam. Toivah means Tzadikim, or Toivah means they ate Kedei Sviya. He tells Lechaveiro, he said, the good angels should bless you. In Mishaskin also, we don't ask the angels for any brachas. They don't have any koyach to give any brachas. So that's Rab Chaim Volozhin felt, that it's not proper to say, Bochuni Lashonim, because we don't ask the malachim for any blessings. So what do you do with the pasuk? Amalach HaGolos Yivarech HaSanor, Mikar V'Hem Shmi. The malach who took care of me should take care of Menashe V'Ephraim. How can they deny the pasuk? So you need someone who's really a Talmud of Rav Chaim Volozhin, someone who has the traditions from Volozhin to give a pshat over here. So Rav David Soloveitchik quotes in the name of his father, Rav Elbala Soloveitchik, what's pshat in the pasuk, and this pshat says in Rishonim, this pshat. The pasuk before says, Yankov Avinu says, Halakim Asher Hisalcha, Voisai Lefano Abraham Yitzchak, Halakim Harayis, and Meira Yamaze, Hamalach Agolas, Mikol Ra, Yibarach Hasanarim goes on to Halakim, the Rabbanu Shalaylam, who was the God of my ancestors, my father, my grandfather, Abraham Yitzchak. Halakim Haraya, you see, he shepherded me. Hamalach means Bimalach Agolas, the Rabbanu Shalom took care of me by sending a Malach, Kama. That Rabbanu Shalom Ha'alekim, Yivarech HaSanarim, not HaMalach Yivarech HaSanarim. The first phrase in the Pasuk, HaMalach HaGor Lo'isim Mikol Ra, is a Hemshech of the previous Pasuk, and it means, Ha'alekim took care of me, Me'od Ha'ayon HaZed B'Malach HaGor Lo'isim. That's how the Cheskuni writes, and that's how the Tur writes, and several other Rishonim also write like that. So that's what Rav Elbala Soloveitchik said. That's to defend the practice that they had in Volozhin, that they don't say the tefillas bachuni l'sham. Other rishonim say the fairies, there's nothing wrong, and they bring this raya from this pasuk. There are gemaras about this. A question: how do you interpret the gemara? Gemara Sanhedrin, other gemaras. So some rishonim say the fairies, there's nothing wrong to ask the malach, like you have over here. Yaakov Avinu asked the malach should give a bracha to the children. But the Briske follow all the minhagim from the Vilna Gaon from Rav Chaim Volozhin. He said, this is famous, Rav Chaim Volozhin. It wouldn't say, Bachuni Lashon. Yeah. Okay, so people want to raise issues.
Rebbe, you said before about the cool of something being on the fire and then you take it off after Shabbos starts, you could return it. Is that the entire Shabbos you could do that? In other words, if I put it in the refrigerator, can I do it the next morning?
That was Rav Soloveitchik told over that heter, even if you put it in the refrigerator, and it's nistan legamre, it's even colder than room temperature. He said, according to that practice in the Ramah, he said in Europe, there were communities where they followed that, the Ramah rites, then in Krakow they followed that, but there were other communities where they followed that practice.
So how does that comport with Bishalach or Bishal? If we hold Bishalach or Bishal, why should that be any different than any other piece of cooked chicken?
We hold Ein Bishalach HaBishal, but you're not allowed to do HaChazara because you may not...
Right, without Zorah. If I have another piece of cold chicken that wasn't on the fire at the time of Shabbos, it was from Thursday night. It should be the same... How's that any different?
Oh, so whatever food was on the blech on Erev Shabbos, I take it off and I put it in the refrigerator, then I take it out. That's considered a hemshech because it was on the blech on Erev Shabbos, but that's why I call it shehiya. My replacing it on top of the blech on Shabbos is considered a hemshech, a continuation of the fact that it was on the blech on Erev Shabbos when Shabbos ended, and I call it shehiya. But if it wasn't, it was cooked, it was put in the refrigerator on Thursday night. So it wasn't on the blech in the beginning of Shabbos. And then it's called Nesina Mechadosh on Shabbos. That's the prohibition of HaChazor. But whatever was on the blech, if it's Zayde B'yadah B'day Talach, so he put it back. So that's Mutter, because that's a Hemshech. That's a continuation of the fact that it was on the blech on Erev Shabbos. So this Kula is, even if it's Hinech HaGabi Karka, and it's Tana L'gamer, it went down to room temperature, but since it was on the blech in the beginning of Shabbos, so it's, and you put it back on the blech in the middle of Shabbos. So they had a Girsa Niyushami, which the Pashtus is, it's a misreading, it's a misprint. They had the Girsa Niyushami that's called Shehiya. That's a Hemshach from before.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yaakov asked for a bracha, though. In Parashas Vayishlach, Yaakov asked for a bracha from the Malach.
Yes, yes. What do you do with that bracha?
What?
Yeah. Did he realize that it was a Malach? The Novi tells us, the Haftarah tells us, Vayasar al Malach Vayuchaloi. The Haftarah tells us of Vayishlach that it was a Malach. Maybe Bishas Maisi didn't realize that it was a Malach. I don't know, maybe he thought it was a human being. I ask other people for a bracha. In Malachim, you don't ask for a bracha. If you know it's a Malach, then you don't ask
for a bracha. Well, what did he do with the Gemara? God, all partners of the Shoharimina and Gehula. By Parnasa Elohim Orozi, by Gula Malach Agorozi.
Yeah.
So, what is it? It's a Gemara Mefureshes.
That by Parnasa, the Rabbanu Shalom does it in person, and by Guli, he sends a Shliach.
The Malach does it.
The Rabbanu Shalom sends a Shliach to take care of the Gula. But Parnasa, the Rabbanu Shalom takes care of it in person. Yeah. So that's what Amor says. Parnasa is more Choshev than Gula. Okay.
Shag Rabbi.
So we have to keep everything in mind. So the next week we'll be able to complete without. We'll try. Okay.
Thank you.
Should all be healthy.
Okay. Thank
you. Thank you.
Thank you, Yashikara.
Good.
Oh, great.
Good.
Yes.
The recording has stopped.